Warning, this is the Freedom Fiends midweek non-radio podcast. Unlike our weekend live talk radio shows, where we adhere to all regulations and community standards, this cast may contain cussing and or prurient subject matter. If you are easily offended, please leave now. But tune in Saturdays and Sundays to our live talk radio show. If you're not easily offended, prepare to be entertained, informed, and enlightened.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com.
Point, or they take ad sales in
free,
Bitcoin?
I think Free Talk Live takes, I don't know. I think Free Talk Live will take anything in Bitcoin. Yeah, I guess we're rolling. Yeah.
Rolling. Okay.
Came in mid-sentence. It's a typical
this
fiends.
This is the Freedom Fiends piss, shit, fuck, cunt
anarchy. I don't like the word cunt. Why? Offended by it. It just sounds so mean.
I think old
women.
People are offended by it.
I don't like the word cunt.
I think my generation thinks it's hilarious because it offends you old people. And the generation younger than me, it's passé already. Like,
yeah.
there's actually a bit, one of the rampage scenes in the new Grand Theft Automobile, where a hipster is discussing how cunt is passé, but then it's cool again because it's so passé that it's post-ironic.
Yeah.
And then he makes fun of one of the characters' Canadian accents, like one of the three main characters, and the guy just goes nuts and kills all the hipsters in town.
Well, I decide, you know, when I was talking with Ed and Ethan the other day, and they did say something really cool to me that was like kind of like I'd been a catalyst for them to learn something. And when they did the show with me, I don't know what it was, but
yeah, I saw that.
And I wrote them back. You know,
was it that bit about how you can't tell them apart? It's Ed and or Ethan. Was that the bit?
No,
that
I think it was
about,
something about doing radio. But
yeah, I think it was. Yeah, I'm kidding.
I told him that someone at Stephen Kinsella asked me for the email address, and I said, "Oh, they share one email address, like an old married couple," and that's why they're Ed and or Ethan. But
yes.
You know, I liked it. He said I was kind of a catalyst because I said like 25 years ago that like it's in my book, Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women, and I actually said this before that was like. You know, what I want to be remembered for is being a catalyst. Like, yeah, I play music. Yeah, I do radio. Yeah, I do all this other stuff, write books, make movies. But, like, the most valuable things I've done in my life have been just, like, introducing two people and walking away or just, like, kind of being like a shrink where, like, I don't even – shrinks have an agenda. They ask you questions to get you to come to the answer. But, like, I just tend to, like – have conversations with people and they come to enlightenment like a Buddha or something. I'm not saying I'm a great fat man. I am fat, but
You're a side of the road guru in India.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. One that takes Bitcoin on his smartphone. Yeah.
There you go. Hey, I wonder if there are people on the side of the road in India doing that now. They're hip. They're cool. They've probably got smartphones.
Well, I saw one thing today on Russia Today that there's a cop that wants to be paid in Bitcoin. And I was thinking, like, everyone's saying
was it a police chief? Or,
yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Let's see. Let's go ahead and look at that. Russia Today was reporting it.
Yeah. And it's like
Kentucky town to pay police chief in Bitcoin.
Ugh. Yeah. I don't think that's hip, man. Everyone's like, oh, this means it's legit. And I'm like, My immediate response and my tweet in all capital letters with the link was, that is so square, man. So square. I just feel like if you're smart enough to be using cryptocurrency, you should stop being a cop. You really should, man.
Yes, yes. That was my initial reaction, too. For a second there, I flirted with the thought, well, maybe he is smart. Maybe he'll be a hip police chief. Like, maybe he will stop enforcing the war on drugs.
He'll pull you over. He'll go to where, like, to Lover's Lane and catch people smoking pot and being like, hey, man, you should be vaping it instead. I'm going to just give you a warning, you know. Go to the medical marijuana place and get the vaping, not the smoking. It's better for you.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe this is a move so people will root for Bitcoin to flop so that this cop will be out of a paycheck.
Or maybe it's a government plot from, you know, the like 12 trillionaires who run the world to get Bitcoin taxable. Although they're taking his taxes out in cash and then paying him the rest of it in Bitcoin.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's to set a precedent or a structure for taxing payments and income in Bitcoins, but taxing cash instead of Bitcoin out of it.
I had a really funny thought. I don't know if I read this somewhere or just thought of it, but it was like, what if Bitcoin were a big plot by the NSA to get everyone to like gang their computers together to use their computing power to like crack people's passwords?
That'd be hilarious, but like you said, it's somebody would have noticed that by now.
It's open source. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hear rumors that some fans of ours in, let's say, Alpha Centauri heard the other day. I think it was Sunday. I said it to you before, but I had my notes. I said it on the Ed and Ethan show. I was like talking about how, you know, there's so many new cryptocurrencies and it's getting pretty easy to make them to where, like, I read this one article and it said the headline, it was below the above the fold, and I had to scroll down to see the whole thing on my internet device, my computer. And it said 165 new cryptocurrencies created since. And I thought it was going to be breakfast, but it was since April, you know, since this morning. Yeah, since breakfast.
Yeah,
but I hear somebody's. I hear there's going to be like a fiend coin or something, and yeah, that something
that'd
might
be awesome.
It might have something that solves the pizza problem, which we can't talk about yet. We could say the pizza problem. That's my term for the problem of like all the new currencies have no worth because nobody will do like the pizza. You know, like somebody bought a pizza for 10,000 Bitcoin at one point early on.
Is that a problem though? I mean, the guy got a pizza for a bunch of
Bitcoins
that were worthless.
No, the problem. Oh wow, I hope people don't perceive me saying that way. No, the guy buying the pizza solved the pizza problem.
The pizza problem
with new currencies is no one's willing to buy a pizza with them. No one's willing to sell you a pizza for them.
Ah, I see.
Like, okay. Yeah, and basically this fiend coin type thing that somebody's making in Alpha Centauri and going to release soon. And, you know, if there's anybody out there who has experience mining cryptocurrencies, I need your input on some things. I'm not saying, get in now at the ground. You know, it's not like some scheme or anything. It's just I need some information on it. And so let me know. Yeah, let me know.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and fiend source that.
So speaking of scams, though, somebody crashed Bitcoin the other day with a scam, but it recovered, which is proof that it works.
It's evidence. I don't know if it's proof.
Yeah, there
proof
you go.
Is a ton of evidence that proves beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yeah,
but it's evidence.
Somebody basically released a website that had just numbers, tables of numbers on it, and what it claimed to be was the like digital hash, you know, like what you can turn into a password. Like basically it claimed to be the password for every Bitcoin wallet in the world. And a lot of people, it went viral and a lot of people took it seriously and thought, well, wait, everyone else hasn't seen this yet, so I'll sell all my Bitcoin right now. And the price went down from like 1,100 per coin to like 700 for like 4 hours and then, or like for 2 hours and then came back up within 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean that's a good thing. I have my first wallet that I downloaded the other night.
Yeah,
Multibit. It's my multi purse for this end of the multiverse.
And this multi purse goes to 11.
Yes. And I started using it and playing around with it, and I received my first little bits of Bitcoin.
Yeah. So
and it's cool, man.
People that want to donate to the fiends in Bitcoin, don't be hesitant just because I lost my Bitcoin password, because what I do now is when we get donations, which we're not getting many, but because everyone's clamping down on their holding their Bitcoin tight. But I'm going to send Nima his share like that night or that day, you know, within hours probably. So if I screw up again, Nima's baby won't go hungry, or, you know, you'll still she'll still have the Bitcoin college fund.
Yes. Well, I've got my stuff backed up in multiple places, and so, yeah, I'm not too worried about losing it or forgetting a password or anything. I don't think Michael will make that same mistake again either.
Mm-mm.
I think he's learned his lesson.
No, I painted it on the back of my fence. All you have to do is go out in the alley and you can see it big.
Yes, that's a good tactic, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's not what I did, but yeah. So maybe if somebody could convincingly tell everybody, I'm not telling people they should do scams, but it'd be funny if somebody started a rumor that it's actually an NSA plot to crack passwords. Then it would dip.
So it'll dip back down, and we can buy it all real cheap. Profit.
Yeah.
That's why there should be a Bitcoin central banker, Michael. You made the case right there.
Oh yes, yeah. Ben Bernanke needs a job.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lou Rockwell always says he wants to see Bernanke working at McDonald's. Wouldn't that be great?
It would
be great, but I don't know if I'd trust that.
I used to say that about Reagan. I think I invented that thought about Reagan, although I don't think I was the first one.
He'd give me a burger with like 3 patties and 0 beef, and I'd be like, where's the beef, Bernanke? Come on, man.
No, he'd give you an IOU for a steak dinner.
What a loser. Yeah. What is he going to do? I wonder. That'd be an interesting reality show.
You know, there's an article called Why Do Libertarians Hate Bitcoin? And I was like, they don't, man. They all love it. But I realized
some of the old school are very offended.
It's
yes.
Like
not
crowd,
offended, but skeptical.
Our crowd, which isn't really based on age, because I'm 50, and some of those guys, the younger ones of the old crowd, are probably about 50 or 52. But, you know, those guys are 50 and have, like, a suitcase full of gold bars buried in their backyard.
Yeah, it's the OG libertarians. It's And OG is defined as you were libertarian before the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
And so those guys.
Yeah, the guys that were handing out pamphlets in the 70s for the Libertarian Party and were like,
sign up for my newsletter.
Yes. Yeah. And they still
my
do
my phone tree with Gary Norris.
And, yeah. And Lou all Rockwell getting faxes from, was it Mises or?
I think Mises was dead.
Yeah. A lot of people are, but it's the other one. Who's the other one?
Rothbard.
Rothbard. Yeah. Yes. See, I'm like today's youth. I don't know the names of the founding fathers. I'm like.
Right. You know? That's a good analogy. Yeah, yeah.
The founding fathers of liberty. Yeah,
you'll cite the NAP, but you don't know who wrote the aggression.
I live the NAP. Yeah,
yeah. You live it. Yeah.
I live the NAP, and if you don't like it, I'll fucking go glock glock in the side of your head, bitch.
Glock glock, motherfucker.
Is that from a song? Glock glock, bitch.
Maybe.
No, probably. I know. No, it's from a South. It's from something that's a takeoff on. The Fat Albert show.
I thought you were singing Blurred Lines.
No, what's Blurred Lines? I don't know what that is, man.
I don't know. It was the song everybody was dancing to this summer with Robin Thicke. He's like the son of some Canadian comedian, Alan Thicke, who had a late night show.
No, it's something.
You're so not hip.
It's something that's like a modern. It's a show within a show, and it's
no just, the hey hey hey. That's the chorus.
Oh
of the song.
Hey
but,
hey,
but you were doing the Fat Albert.
I was
doing
Fat Albert, which is something that like expired when I was 8. Man, it's really old school.
Right.
But this was like the modern Fat Albert, and it was like, you know, really gangsta Fat Albert. And it was like some chick who's like, you know, somebody's like, yeah, my friend's dad beat me up. What should I do?
Oh, yeah. This,
and
the
she's
South
like,
Park. No, it was Fat Abbott. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, shut up, bitch. I'll say put that fool in a bear trap, huh?
Yeah.
Now suck my dick.
Yeah. And then there's something like, yeah, I just waste him. Glock, glock, bitch. You're dead.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
I'm just
glock,
glock, bitch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fat Abbott. Yeah, that's. I had that on VHS back in.
I don't know what that is. Yeah, I do. Did I lose Mr. Vidotti? I lost Mr. Vidotti. I got too loud and it scared him away. Yo, where are you, Nima? Yo, Fat Abbott. Well, we did order him a uninterrupted power supply today, thanks to an earmarked donation from Mark Schisler. Nima won't lose power. Are you back, Nima?
Yeah, I didn't lose power. The internet dropped.
I just got
bit,
really
huh?
loud and I scared the internet. I went glock glock bitch, and like you weren't there when I.
No, that bitch was more Jesse in Breaking Bad.
What? Oh, do it. Science, bitch.
No, they're just the bitch at the end. Yeah,
bitch.
Sounded like Jesse. Bitch.
I sounded like Jesse, or the South Park sounded like Jesse.
You sounded like Jesse. Yeah,
I am South Jesse, Park man. Is. Jesse reminds me so much of me.
Of you, really?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Why?
It reminds DJ of her son at that age. Not that either of us were manufacturing meth, but Jesse is fucking.
But if you did, you would put chili powder in
it. You know who? Well, there wasn't hip hop really like the way there is with white kids with Jesse when I was a kid, you know? So it wasn't. There's not like the Wigga kind of component in me back then, but.
For you being cool was breaking windows with beer bottles.
I never broke a window with beer bottles.
And having a mohawk. No?
No.
Okay.
No. But you know,
what was cool when you were young, man?
My friend Little Mike was what was he doing? He was I can't say this on the air. I already said his name.
It's the piss shit fuck cunt.
No, but people know who he is because I said the last episode his dad's name, so I don't want to tell a story about. Well, he did get arrested for it, so it's a matter of public record. He was
maybe
walking.
It's been expunged. You should still be careful.
I don't know. I don't think so. Right. I'll do it. So he was back in the day in San Francisco. He was like a, you know, leftist anarchist or something back then. And he, you know, he was walking around drinking beer. I was not with him, but he was walking around drinking beer and like being conscientious and not throwing the bottles on the ground. He was putting them back in the six pack holder and walking with them. And it was good beer. He said he wanted people to know.
Okay.
And when he tells his story, it was good beer. And
what was good beer back? I mean, that's before the microbrew.
Amstel Light.
Amstel
probably. I don't know. Probably okay. What's the German one or the malty one?
Heineken.
No, the thick one. The Irish one. It was probably
Guinness.
It was probably Guinness. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Well, there was actually in San Francisco back in the day, there were actually like before anyone had heard the word microbrew, like actually supermarkets, big chain supermarkets and some corner stores sold like imported high quality beer. It was really weird, man. It was San Francisco. Okay. But he was drinking some of that. He's walking around and you know, putting the bottles back in and looking for a recycling bin because he didn't even want to throw them away because he was that conscientious. And then he just got really drunk and he's walking around with six empties and he walks by the Bank of America building at Castro and Market Street, the one with it has giant curved windows that are like coated with gold, you know, like that kind of window, literally, like they're.
I know the color, yeah.
But they actually use gold. They vaporize gold onto the inside of it for that.
Oh,
yeah. Right. And he was just like, just stopped and looked at the bank and went, like, fuck, and threw the whole six pack of empties through this giant plate glass window. And a cop was standing like 20 feet away. And he told me that story, and I thought it was so. I don't want to go into it. I don't want to go into the one upmanship.
Okay, so you went and tried to outdo him?
Nah, but I didn't break anything. No. I just said shit to a cop. It's a long story.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
So, anal expulsive. Do you know this word? Anal expulsive?
Segue, yeah.
It's we the don't need them. It's the, I was being anal expulsive. It's the opposite of anal retentive. Look it up. It's awesome.
All right. Anal expulsive. Why is anal before those two things? I don't understand.
Anal
that.
Retentive was a theory of Freud's that's been discounted since then, but the phrase has remained. Freud tried to explain people who are really fastidious and like, I don't like you. You need to, you know, like total control freak, kind of like not just with others, but with themselves and really neat rooms and like really obsessive, compulsive kind of. He said that was from kids when they're potty training. Like being denied, you know, like, oh, go to the toilet now, or you can't go to the toilet now, or like having control over their toilet function would make them really fastidious like that. And
bad potty training.
Yeah. And it may or may not have been true. I mean, I still say the phrase like, yeah, like all Satanists are just people who had a bad Catholic potty training. But, but actually the phrase, like there was a lot more of that coming into Freud's, you know, couch back then because indoor plumbing was really new and not a lot of people had it. And people that had it generally had 12 kids. So suddenly like the parents had to have a lot more control over when the kids used the bathroom compared to when there was just chamber pots and outhouses.
Okay.
You know,
and so an anal expulsiveness describes a person who exhibits cruelty, emotional outbursts, disorganization, self-confidence, sometimes artistic ability, generosity, rebelliousness, and general carelessness. Huh. So that's somebody who just shat everywhere and lined the walls with it and tried to paint the Mona Lisa with crap.
That's actually in a movie, sort of.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's the movie about who's the famous sadist? Marquis de Sade. Like, sadism is named after him. And he was a sexual sadist, and he wrote books about sexual sadism. And he was like, you know, the church tried to crush him for writing these books and put him – he ended up in prison, you know, like a mental hospital prison in the, I don't know, 18 or 1700s when – you know, when those were like Gitmo, but worse, you know, like Gitmo with no food and no plumbing. And he started like painting portraits on the wall with his shit because he was just so bored and they wouldn't, you know.
Okay. Yeah. I guess that's what solitary confinement will do to you, right?
Yeah. I think I used to be more – I've never been anal retentive. I'm more anal expulsive.
Yeah, I think I am too, although I really don't like that term.
It sounds pretty awful. It sounds like explosive diarrhea of the soul something.
It sounds like your whole being is just a shit fest.
I just spit coffee, man. Yeah.
Which looks a lot like anal expulsiveness. Wow.
I'm typing you the name of someone I think is totally an example of this, but I'm not going to say it on the cast.
Yes. And you spell his name wrong just as you say it wrong. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You cannot speak or type his actual name because it would be too respecting of his anal expulsiveness personhood.
Well, I say it like the singer in that weird metal band, which is different than how he spells it. He has an H in it, but I'm not going to give any more information than that.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. It's one of many Deanisms. Like Saskatoonchewan for where Ed and Ethan live.
What's the mythical beast? The
Sasquatch?
Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan. Yeah, that's what you call it.
Yeah. Well, what I didn't get, I forgot to say on the Ed and Ethan cast was we were talking about Canadians and how polite they are. And what I meant to say but forgot to say was I've talked before about how Jim Goad correctly pointed out in his book, The Redneck Manifesto, that white rural people, white rural Americans are pretty much the only like group of people left in the world that you can just freely make fun of in an extreme way in the media.
Mm-hmm. Until Muslims.
Yeah, but you can't even do that on mainstream media. But like if you said the things that people get away with making jokes about rednecks, you know, people.
That's true.
Said about Muslims, Jews, gays, women, poor people, any other ethnic or social group.
Because the ACLU will still be on a Muslim side, but nobody will ever be on the redneck side.
Right. Mm, and the only time the ACLU ever fought for a gun thing, it wasn't for a gun thing. It was for a guy got arrested for an unregistered gun, and he was a white redneck in the South, but it was for illegal search and seizure. And the ACLU is the last time I think they fought for a gun thing.
Although Scott Horton the other day tried to tell them they need to focus on gun stuff and maybe then people would like them more.
I think they figure the NRA's got that covered, and which they don't. And they don't want to turn off their immense base of liberal donors.
Yeah. Well, his point, and he was interviewing somebody. It was the lady who wrote the report or was involved in the report on the life without parole for silly stuff, like a friend of a friend of yours buys somebody a dime bag and all of a sudden you're in prison for life.
Yeah.
He was telling her, you know, what you guys should do is focus on the little guy who gets thrown in prison for life for a gun charge. Like he just happened to have a gun. And he said, you know, those got to be mostly black guys and Mexican guys. And there's got to be a lot of racism there for a lot of these guys that have felony charges. And my wife used to see that when she was working at one of those for-profit colleges. You know, a lot of the people that would apply, they'd have a felony on their record and they'd have to check the box. And half the time when she'd ask them, well, what happened? It'd be, you know, oh, I just had a gun. Oops.
Yeah.
And now I'm a felon.
Yeah, it's not just black people and Mexican people and poor people. The other thing they love to go after is legal machine gun owners, which is usually rich white people because you can't buy a new machine gun. Like basically they threw this thing at the last minute as an amendment into a gun bill in 1968 that outlawed importation of any new machine guns except for the government. And it was like, I mean, literally it was like, you know, they're about to take a vote and they're like, excuse me. Yes. The good gentleman from Connecticut. Yeah. So I'd like to add an addendum. And then they like voted and basically like that destroyed the economy for machine guns. It made it so like the only ones you can buy legally with a permit from the government in a state where you can own machine guns are ones that were brought into the country before 68. Mm-hmm. So, and to own them, you have to basically, it's kind of like owning a gun in Canada. You have to or in Australia, you basically have to jump through a bunch of hoops, pay a tax stamp, pay extra for the gun of what the market value would be. And then you have to open up your home at any time to inspection. And the ATF loves to go into people's homes and inspect for that.
Yep.
And find fault, like, you know, oh, you didn't write down the last three times you used it or how many miles or whatever, you know, whatever the thing is. Like, they love to.
Yeah, because they already made the trip out there. They're invested in it. They want something to come out of it. I mean, they don't want to knock down a door.
Yeah, it's a lot less work for a lot more monetary gain by the government than going into some crib hood where they're going to shoot when the door gets kicked in. You know, it's like they're going to go in with a warrant and the dentist, you know, who makes six figures is going to go, yes, sir, I'm compliant. And like, you know, when he's not, he's going
to... And then they're going to fine him a few thousand, and he'll pay it gladly so that he doesn't go to prison and leave his family without a breadwinner.
Yeah. So the thing about making fun of white people that Jim Goad said, that they're the only people...
Yeah, we got off on a tangent there, didn't
we? It's good, though. The only people that you can... I would add an addendum to that, that you can also make fun of Canadians and get away with
That's true.
And
That's
not only true, can you make fun of Canadians and get away with it, they will join you in it. Canadians will join you in making fun of them.
Yes, they will.
It's awesome.
They will.
Yeah.
And they're so polite, they won't correct your misstated place names where they're from. Yes.
And I'm not.
I mean, there's only one road in Canada. It can't be that hard to figure out all the different places along the line.
Yeah. And I'm not saying they're like pussies. They don't stand up for themselves or anything bad about them. Or boy, they're fun to kick. They come back and lick your legs like a puppy. No, it's like, it's kind of, they have a spine, but it's a Canadian spine. It's a really polite spine, you know?
It's a polite spine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the temperature. Maybe it's the climate. They're just a little more laid back. They don't want to get all hot-headed for no reason.
Their brains are frozen.
I don't know about all that.
So there are no longer two Liberty shows on in the same town at the same time.
Bummer.
the station in North Carolina, Asheville, that was playing us the same time that Free Talk Live is on a station across town, stopped us taking us after 3 weeks and put on something called The Mom Show, which is the worst crap I've ever heard. But I'm not a mother. Maybe, I don't know. I think your wife would hate it too. It was really centrist, middle of the road, like, oh, let's see what the new baubles are. Blah, 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 blah. You know? But they said that they took off all their political programming. They dumped everything political they were taking, so it wasn't just us.
See, I hate that we're categorized as political, because we're totally not. But I guess to people who aren't in the know, then it sounds like we're talking about politics, because we mention a name of a politician, so it must be a political show.
Yeah. You know, I was really kind of offended by something he said, and it wasn't that he said it. It was that he was kind of implying that, like, they'd had a consultant come in, and this is what the consultant told them. He said, you should get rid of your political shows, and because they want to attract more – basically, they want to attract more women listeners, because, like, women listeners tend to spend more advertising dollar per listener or something like that.
And I can see that.
And the consultant told him that women don't like politics or don't like political shows. Like, that to me sounds like something from the 1800s. Like, women aren't smart enough to understand the issues to vote. But, you know, it could just be that most of the political talk shows out there are so angry and old male sounding. I'm not going to say almost said old white male, but I don't want to be that bashing guy. Just old male, because Herman Cain. Herman Cain
like
is
NPR,
black.
Though.
Herman Cain is black, and he's one of them too.
Oh yeah, they have a black friend.
Yes, women do like NPR, but it doesn't sound like a lot of political talk radio.
That's it. Yeah,
it's you know what it is. Like there's a description in that book I'm reading. I kind of set it down because I got on a CSI kick and watched every episode ever made. But
I'm sorry.
I know. I'll pick all 14 seasons. But I'll pick it back up. There's that book about the freeform radio movement in the 70s. And it was you know, basically he said, like, the thing right off the bat, the thing that was different about their station was, like, the ads were, like, they got advertisers of things they really believed in and they were really excited about them. Whereas most ads on the radio then sounded like drill sergeants yelling at you. And, you know, most talk radio, the ads and the hosts sound like drill sergeants to me. It's a perfect description.
Yeah. Do we sound like drill sergeants? I hope not.
No, man. I hope not.
No.
I don't
What do
think
we sound
so.
Like? What do we sound like?
Oh, two cool guys that people want to be friends with. Someone from France today wrote us and said they love us. Did you see that?
France? France?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. Is that in the talk back?
Yeah, I'll try to find it.
Yeah. Was it in French? Did he come to us through Ed and Ethan?
No, he came to us through iTunes, actually.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. It's the shit, piss, fuck, man. Anarchist burp episode.
Yeah, so I guess that means you could burp on the air, I guess.
Yeah. It was Nicholas from, he said, let's see, by internet, iTunes, just tumbled on by chance on your radio station, but he meant iTunes. Difficult to find smart ones. Your broadcast is outstanding. Rare to ear fresh, free news. I guess rare to hear fresh, free news. I like rare to ear. That's us. We are rare to ear radio. Yes.
I like that a lot. I like that should be our new tagline. Ooh, rare to ear.
The freedom
I did enjoy your and Ed and Ethan's conversation about language and French Canada and people shaking their head when you try to speak French to them if you're in Quebec. French, well, did I say French Canadian?
I was talking about French.
Do they ever call parts of it French Canada? That's funny.
Canada is Nikki Darling used that in a subject line today. I didn't know if it was a typo, if she was trying to say candida, like the disease where your body produces too much yeast, like if she was calling Canada that. But I looked it up, and Canada is a slang for Canada. It's like a hipster slang. I guess Nikki's a hipster.
Yeah, I think I've heard it before. Yeah. All right.
No, so he said different views and smart topics from up there. There is so much advertisings of or fucking interrupting ads everywhere online, you know. I guess we don't have that. Well, you know, we have a lot of ads even on our podcast, but it's like they're not like a drill sergeant.
Yeah, I like listening to them because I made a lot of the bumps music for them, so I'm like, oh yeah, I remember making that. That sounds good.
Yeah.
But I guess that's kind of a very narrow
Let's go to the market right now. That's a good segue. Worms. Sure.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, fights to protect your rights in the digital world. When a patent troll threatened podcasters, they fought back. EFF has also defended your right to encryption and has sued the NSA to end the government's mass, suspicionless surveillance. There are different ways you can help EFF, from donations, to signing petitions, to writing your representatives, to just spreading the word. Find out more at EFF.org. That's EFF.org.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available And you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiend's message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
To put my tube in.
Yeah, I turned down my tube knob on my tube preamp because those Russian 1963 tubes that we're using now are really awesome.
Is the Telefunken Russian?
No, it's German, man. It's Berlin.
Oh, well, you said Russian just now.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you're wrong for correcting me when I'm wrong.
Telefunken.
Yeah. It just sounds great.
I almost feel like you get a shit-eating grin on your face when you say it on radio.
Telefunken.
Because you're like, ha, I get to say something that sounds like fucking.
I heard a guy on Fox today defending Fox. It was, who's the guy in the afternoons who's like really likable and kind of centrist Republican? Well, he's not really likable, but never makes my blood boil.
Is he the one who like cried when he thought America didn't torture? Are you talking about that guy?
I don't think
Shepard Smith, who was really angry at the
thought. That guy's old and skinny. This guy's kind of 10 years younger than that and kind of plump and makes jokes about being plump all the time. I forget his name, but he was like basically like Obama is basically saying like the Republicans are the reason that Obamacare's website doesn't work. I don't know how that works, but he was saying something like that. And
I hate that.
And blaming Fox News. And the guy in Fox went on this kind of feisty rant. I'm getting an echo from you. Kind of feisty rant about, don't blame us. Like, we'll say this. Fox will say this. I will say this. Fox will say this. I'll say this. You know, when you're wrong about this, but you don't blame it on us. You built that, sir. And it was pretty funny and feisty for Fox. I was just watching for 2 minutes a day like I do. But he actually said, he made a joke. He said, like, come on, Mr. President, what the fox is going on with you?
What does the fox say?
No, like, what the fuck? What the fox is going on with
I got
you?
It.
Oh, okay. What's the fox say? What's that?
Do you like never go on? You only look at the things that you normally look at on the internet.
I only
Nobody
look at
ever
the
sends
things...
you like a viral thing and you're like, oh, okay,
Nima,
that's what everybody's
Nima.
Into.
I only look at the things I make on the internet. I just surf my own sites all day and then tweak things and make them better.
Of course. I forgot. Yes.
I look at Twitter. I know what's going on in the world, but I don't know a lot about what pop culture is going on in the world because I don't care. Mm-hmm. So I don't subscribe to those updates.
Yes, yes. Well, what the fox says is like a spoofy EDM type song from these people called like Ylvis. It's like with the Y. I think they're Swedish or some kind of weird Euro.
Is
trash.
That Elvis with a Yiddish
with
twist?
The Y? Yeah, it's weird. They're pretty funny though.
Ylvis.
Yeah, and it's all about what sounds the animals make, but in like this kind of like pumping beat with some.
So it's
awesome
like speak
synths.
It's speak and spell rock.
But yeah, kind of. Then he's like, but nobody knows what the fox say, and then the chorus is him making fox noises.
That is what foxes sound like.
Yeah. Is it? Okay.
Well, I don't know. I know exactly what coyotes sound like, and I imagine foxes sound similar.
We saw a whole bunch of foxes when we were on Mount Rainier. Yeah, we went to Mount Rainier when we lived in Washington State, and we sort of drove up. We wanted to hike up to like at least Camp Muir, which is like 10,000 feet, which would have been a lot of work. But it was still super snowy. Like there was still 17 feet of snow in May. And they said, well, we don't advise that because 4 people have already gone that route and not come back. So we decided to stay
back. Oh, with your pregnant wife, you're going to hike up?
No, man, this is like 2 years ago. Pregnancy doesn't last that long.
It feels like it does. No, I'm kidding.
It does. I can't remember. It's hard to think back to those times when she wasn't pregnant.
So if she goes into labor like while you're at work, they're going to let you leave, right? Leave work.
Well, work has become like everybody who was there and my boss originally when I joined the shop has left. So I don't really answer to anybody anymore.
You're
I kind of do my own thing. Of myself, at least.
Is there someone to get her? I mean, does she have a car, or can her brother take her, or is there a taxi? How would she get to the hospital if you're not there? If you're two hours away.
I did all my out-of-town type work earlier. Well, I guess I finished it all today. So the rest of my gigs are mostly here in the Austin area. So, I mean, I just zoom back and pick her up and take her. Brother-in-law's here sometimes. I mean, I guess in a real pinch, she could call 911. Depend on the state or something.
Let Obama
like
pay for it.
Yeah.
So I saw a movie. I have a movie review.
Oh, wait. I want to clarify. I'm not using my Telefunken tube yet, but I did get it. Thank you very much to the tube donator. I'm going to put it in soon, though. So, but this is still the good old Russian tongue soul tube.
Tongue Soul.
Tongue Soul. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you watched a movie.
Yeah.
That's so unusual. Yes. What was it, Michael? Do you want to enlighten us?
Okay, it was I'm chatting with
You're pigeoning with somebody else. I hear the pigeon sound and I'm looking at my pigeon like, what did Michael send me?
I'm pigeoning the Fiend Coin creators in Alpha Centauri. All right,
you're so bad at keeping.
I know.
You're like, Don't mention this thing.
I know. Fiend Coin. Okay, right. So. Let's see. I watched the movie. Now I feel like I'm like in eighth grade, like not prepared. Like, okay, I watched the movie We Steal Secrets, the story of WikiLeaks, directed by Alex Gibney, who made The Smartest Guys in the Room about Halliburton.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. I just sent you, I want you to read this review. Okay, basically, this movie got panned. I think both of the WikiLeaks movies, this documentary that came out earlier this year, and then the new like biopic that I think is coming out right now, like basically WikiLeaks,
the Fifth Estate. Yeah. I did think the name was clever though, how they kind of merged Fourth Estate with Fifth Column. I thought that was kind of cool.
I didn't notice that it merged with Fifth Column. I just noticed like, well, the Fourth Estate is dead. It's fucking dead trees.
I think there was supposed to, because I'm pretty sure it's like a bash on what's his face, Julian Assange. So I think they were trying to merge. Well, he's a traitor.
Well, wasn't the Fifth Column like the resistance in some communist country?
It's become parlance or just regular slang for the group of people who want to destroy the system from within. You know, they're like Scott Horton always says that AIPAC is the Israeli Fifth Column. You know, they're here to take us down. It's become demeaning foreign power.
You know, Tony Fagg, the drummer in Bomb, before Bomb was in a band called Fifth Column that were kind of popular. They're actually on that famous compilation double LP called Not So Quiet on the Western Front.
Nice.
Yeah. If you want to hear some early Tony Fagg drumming. So,
Fagg.
So this movie, well, WikiLeaks like hacked the movie studios that made both of these films before they were done and stole the script and like annotated it and reviewed the script online before
That's
the movies
great.
Came out.
I love that. I do.
Yeah. Including like a lot of bashing of, like things they got wrong and things that were slanted, but they did it a lot harder and more publicly for the Hollywood big one that's coming out. I can't find online where they did it for this one, but one of the things I know that Assange had a problem with was the title, We Steal Secrets, which it's basically, he doesn't say it in there. Somebody from the State Department says about that, defending, you know, like, well, this is what governments do. I mean, we steal secrets.
That's what governments do, right?
But
that's not what Julian Assange does.
Well, I guess
it's
saying
WikiLeaks, not wiki thefts.
Yeah, he doesn't steal them. Other people steal them and send them to him. But, you know, I guess the United States probably outsources too. But I think Assange's point is like, these things belong to everybody, so we're not stealing. But that's a minimal problem I have with it. And I actually learned a lot about both of the players in it, about Chelsea Manning and about Assange.
Julian Assange.
Chelsea Manning and Lamo. Lamo's in it a lot. Lamo is a horrible person, man.
He is.
Adrian Lamo. He's fucking horrible. Yeah. Fucking horrible.
Well, wasn't he... He was like not the priest, what, the chaplain? Like he was supposed to be. He told Chelsea Manning that he could have two forms of protection because he's the chaplain. And
really a chaplain? They showed those chats. He wasn't an army chaplain. He was some.
I thought he was. I thought that he was there for Manning to confide in, and he tried to get Manning to say things like, "Oh yeah, I'm totally good." He was trying to push Manning in to say, "Yeah, I'm going to sell these secrets, you know, so our enemies can get them, so that there'll be blood on my hands." And Chelsea was like, "No, man, that's not what this is for. This is so people will make informed decisions since we live in a supposed democracy."
I think he was just a hacker talking with him, and Manning was incredibly isolated and very frail of a person his whole life. And like, if anybody belongs in the army, he did not fucking belong in the army. I mean, he was like, he was overseas in like the safest, most non-combatant, you know, country club, like computer encampment in Afghanistan. And it was like far too brutal for him. Like, cause there were like manly men cussing and slapping each other on the back. He hated it. But he really was just appalled by the shit that he was, you know, privy to. And he felt entirely lonely and just completely like his whole life, like nobody was his friend. And this lame-o guy is some voice typing on an encrypted chat saying, I'm your friend. He said, like, you know, treat me like a chaplain.
Right. I'm wrong.
He said,
I don't know,
you know, you can confide in me. Treat me like your chaplain. And lame-o is bi. And he confided that to Bradley Manning and was, you know, so he felt some affinity to him since he was bi. But he just screwed him and he went to the army and was like, yeah, man, this guy's spilling secrets to me and I'm conflicted. And it's like, I get the impression.
So he was just a run of the mill snitch. He was nothing but a rat.
He's actually in this movie typing on a laptop recently wearing a hat that says snitch on it. Like he's wearing it as an ironic joke proudly.
That's awful.
Yeah,
man, somebody should get all hip-hop and treat this guy like snitches are supposed to be treated. I'm not saying somebody should do that, but I would not be sad if something bad happened to Lame-o.
Well, Lame-o. He's really fucked up. He's on a lot of medication, like psych meds and over-medicated, and was probably like way over-medicated when it happened. And I think he has a real need to be recognized. Like he's not fragile the way that Manning was, but he's really like me. And I think this was how he got attention, good or bad. You know, like he was a nobody and then he was a somebody, even though he was demonized, you know. He was really fucked up. And
so he tried to gain notoriety by getting one of the heroes of the American experience thrown in a prison cell for doing the right thing.
Oh, he succeeded. Yeah, absolutely.
And he knew what he was doing, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yep. Also, something I learned that I didn't know. You know how people say, you know, WikiLeaks has blood on their hands. Assange has blood on their hands. Like, that was just kind of a meme, I thought. That actually was a line in a Pentagon press release. Like, that line was fed to journalists. And there's a montage in this movie of, like, 10 pundits from the left and the right and, like, 10 congressmen from the left and the right all saying, like, in the same week, that in a sentence, like WikiLeaks
just
has blood on
repeating their talking points like good little minor birds.
Yeah, like here's your script from the Pentagon, you know, and like we respect your creativity, you know, work with it however you want, like, you know, use your own words, but fit this in there. Really what, like, people who go to journalism school, you know, they think like I'm creative and I'm going to be recognized and my brilliance will be recognized, and it's like, no,
but it's what they're creating with what they're given by the establishment.
Yeah.
It's like one of those beat contests online where they give you a sample, all the samples that you can use. You put them in different orders, I guess, if you want, and do different things with them. But it's all the same source material. Blood on hands. Repeat it. Repeat.
Yeah.
That's so stupid.
Repeat until droned.
Yeah. So you thought it was a worthwhile viewing then?
Yeah. And I need to find, or, you know, if someone knows where it is, I couldn't find it, like the rejection of it by Assange. But Assange, I learned things about him too I didn't know. Like he reminds me of me by far. He's the Jesse, you know. He's kind of the Walter White, but he's kind of got a lot of Jesse in him. He's kind of very much like, you know, he was really happy, like anonymously doing things his whole life with computers before anyone knew what computers were. And he was on the internet and doing cool stuff and weird stuff and making a living doing computer stuff and doing hacking. But once he started to get a taste of it, like he literally overnight became like a rock star. You know, he'd release stuff and people knew who he was, and he was going to like hacker conventions and as an invited speaker and talking about, you know, we're starting this thing. If you know any information, we have a list of the top 10 things we're looking for, the kind of documents, you know. But when the Guardian and the Der Spiegel and whatever other paper worked with him and released all that stuff, like it was literally like he went to bed. You know, nobody really knew who he was outside of the hacker community. And he woke up and like, they have film of this. Like he walks out of his apartment and goes, or the hotel, and goes like across the street to the Guardian where there's a press conference and it's like 100 fucking cameras pointed at him. And then the next day the world knew who he was. And
yeah,
he really like took it like a rock star. And it was kind of funny because he was like basically homeless and couch surfing and country surfing. And they do, a friend of his described him at the time as being like, you know, he pretty much doesn't own anything. He owns a $300 laptop and about 10 SD cards and a kind of old suit jacket he puts on for interviews.
Huh. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
A $300 laptop. Are you sure it's not more expensive?
He's using a netbook in everything in this. He's probably got it stripped down to Linux because he wants to be very portable.
Yeah.
He wants to be able to go anywhere with a fucking shoulder bag and nothing else. And leave on a minute's notice, you know, probably.
What's his status right now? I mean, wasn't he sort of hiding?
I think he's still in a consulate in London.
Was it in London? I figured if he was in oh, yeah.
It's well, it was kind of weird, too, because, like, the people that he exposed were was the country that took him in. Like, there was stuff in his dumps about that.
Right, right, right.
Isn't it Venezuela? It's some horrible country with a horrible record of human rights, which is kind of like those are the people that will take people now that are hated by England and America. Like Russia will take you just to piss off America, you know? Did you hear that only 1% of Snowden's leaks have been released? I heard that today. I also heard that 10% of Americans are on psych meds.
Well, Glenn Greenwald supposedly always says that, you know, the best stuff's still coming. And I don't know if 1%, there might only be 5% that's even interesting.
I wonder if there's like, you know, pictures of like very high level government officials like raping children or something.
Yikes. Yeah, I don't know. I am curious. Is there NSA information in the leaks about politicians that maybe that's the juicy stuff we're awaiting?
Yeah, because it's easy
Obama
to criticize
does in the seedy night.
Right, it's easy to criticize the government, like the army, you know, but harder to criticize. Well, I don't know.
Is it easy to criticize the army?
It's not, man, because people just think you're a fucking baby eater if you don't love the troops and everything they do. It's such a like a false dichotomy. You know, like Michael Moore says, I support the troops, but I don't support the war. And it's like, I don't not support the troops. I don't condemn the average private in the army who joined because of the poverty draft. You know, I hope he gets through it okay. I hope he doesn't have to kill anybody, and I hope he gets home in one piece. And that's my extent of supporting the troops. But
well, it's this weird concept of loyalty too. Like you have to, you know. That's why Michael Moore will say something like that. Like I support the troops, but not the war. But here's the thing: is if you just give them your blanket support, you're saying I'm supporting them no matter what they're doing. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's really a good idea to support a person just unconditionally. Like, I support that person. What if that person does a horrendous atrocity? Do you still support them?
I could count on one hand.
It's collectivizing, and it's also being loyal to somebody just because of their status.
I could count on one hand, and I've met more people and had at least a tiny bit of relationship interaction more than just shaking hands. I've met more – for someone who's like a recluse now, I've met in person – more people than most people have, you know, like, and they know me, they would say they know me, and I say I know them. Of the many thousands of people I've met, I could count on one hand the people I would say I support pretty much unconditionally. It's like you, my wife, and like three people nobody's heard of on here.
But it's not even unconditional, is it? I mean,
it's not. If it was, I would never get angry at you.
Right. Well, not even that, but I mean, I feel like you trust me not to do anything horrendous that would make you stop supporting.
Like, you know, people do horrendous. If you did something horrendous, I wouldn't support you in it.
Right, right. Like if I blew your house up or something horrible, would you still support me?
No, I wouldn't be like, oh, boys will be boys. He's not 30 yet. He's not grown up.
Right.
Yeah, no way, man.
Now, what if I blew some little Pakistani kid's house up? Would you still support me?
You know what's so weird? It's like I'm almost like, don't even joke about things like that. They'll kick in your door, but you're talking about the fucking government, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have like the most elaborately involved systems in the world to do all of that, to do precisely that. Like the highest use of technology, the people that poach the best scientists and pay them the most money with the most benefits and give them the most unlimited whatever they want to do all of that is directed upwards towards blowing up kids in the desert while they're petting their goats.
Yeah, yeah. It's really sickening, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Just disgusts me.
Fiendcoin is going to save the world.
All the money is sucked upward, and all the power is projected downward.
Fiendcoin is going to fix the world from that kind of shit. Yeah, Fiendcoin is going to like. Let me make a bunch of rumor unsubstantiated claims about Fiendcoin. It's going to be beyond Bitcoin in that it's going to actually enable you to create an electronic dome over your house that is impermeable to the state.
Sign me
a
up.
A physical dome.
And how much will that cost per month?
Nothing. You just got to plug in your computer and mine them and then send them to us to buy things from us. Yeah,
I see.
Okay.
I see. Okay.
All right.
Yes, I was just referring to when people would ask me how much it costs them to sign up for Gmail per month.
I thought you were like someone like getting sucked into a Ponzi scheme, which this is not.
Oh,
like,
no.
And
no,
for
no.
only $9.99 a month, your investment will quadruple every 6 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's no reverse mortgage advertisers here on the Wednesday piss shit fuck cunt ad.
So I want you to read this thing I just sent you. It's a review. The weird thing about this movie was like I didn't really feel like it was. I felt it was kind of fair and balanced. At the end, it got kind of a little bit critical. Like it, I don't know. It's so complicated.
Of Assange.
Well, here's what it is. It's kind of Assange's fault for not participating in it because the guy had like a 6-hour meeting with him when Assange was in under house arrest at some friend's mansion out in the country in England. The filmmaker went there, wasn't allowed to film it, and had like a 6-hour negotiation. And like Assange wanted either $1 million up front or he wanted the guy to spy on the other interviewees and tell them what they said off camera about him. Assange also allegedly, according to this movie, Assange, like when he started getting hassled and was in house arrest, like wrote to the other guys in WikiLeaks and said, like demanded that they sign NDA agreements with like a $32 million fine if they leak anything. Like the leaker, the world's most famous leaker was demanding NDAs against leaking from his buddies. Hmm. Which, you know, I don't know if it's true or not, but Assange isn't in the movie. So basically it was very heavy with interviews with the other guys from WikiLeaks who totally feel like left out of everything, you know?
Right.
So there was that. Right. But there were some the reviews of this on Netflix. Like some are positive, some are critical, some are mixed. And like some statist was defending, basically saying Assange has blood on his hands. Read this just incredibly statist review I just sent you.
Okay. What statist voice should I use? Old man?
I don't know.
No? All right. I'll just do it straight. Those who gave this documentary a bad rap did so only due to the fact they came cheering for a foreign spy and found truth hard to digest. Maybe instead hating the government, they would like to become involved in the legislative process. Oh, man. I can't believe those words just came out of my mouth. That's gross.
If your grandmother's dying of cancer and you think she should have legal pot, get involved in politics. And yeah, 30 years after she dies an agonizing death, you'll be able to get a permit when you get cancer.
Yeah, exactly. Think about how long the legislative process takes to do anything often it fails.
People have been trying actively and in an organized way to legalize pot since about 1968.
Yeah.
That's how long it took. Yeah. We're nowhere near there. You know, we're basically to government control where they'll take your guns away if you have it.
Right. Right. Oh, man. Okay, I'll continue on with some of this nonsense. Every nation on Earth has secrets, some dirty, some indifferent, but nevertheless, it keeps this nation secure.
Yeah!
What? I don't understand what that even means.
It makes people want to drive airplanes into our buildings.
Well, what do people think? I don't understand what they think. Keeping the nation secure means secure from what? From who?
From the people that are mad at you because you blew up their children when they were goat farming and want to come over and kill you.
Yeah, but obviously he doesn't think that. Obviously he doesn't think that people want to come over here.
I mean, that's considered a conspiracy theory and treasonous to the point where that was one of the things like in that list we saw, that leaked list of the Snowden leaked list of the NSA spying on the porn habits of Muslim radicals. They had a little box for like, you know, what is their charge basically? Why do we hate them? And with a couple guys, it was like, you know, one of them, it was, you know, says that the United States blew up the Twin Towers. But the next one was like, says that, you know, the United States actions got the Twin Towers blown up. Like, that's some that's a message that the NSA is trying to blackmail people from saying, like, no, you can't even imply that blowback exists, even though the CIA wrote a whole fucking paper on it.
Yeah. Well, luckily, Ron Paul was able to do it on the national news during the Republican debate. So it's out there. People don't have an excuse anymore. I'll continue on with some of the statist nonsense. I live happily with the precept of having knowledge that there are rough and maybe even wee bit demonic men at the gates prepared to do battle to the death if circumstances.
That's paraphrasing
something.
That answers
my question.
That's paraphrasing something. How does it answer your question?
That answers my question of what these people think. What do they think is keeping the nation secure?
Well, I've heard the thing of, like, you know, brave men, you know, you can sleep soundly because brave men are willing to risk their lives at night. It's even more flowery than that. The guy's kind of paraphrasing it. I forget who said it, but he added the, like, demonic part. Like, basically, not only are men willing to go out and risk being shot for you, they're willing to take some pliers to some motherfucker's genitals. That's what it sounds like to me.
I think what it sounds like is there are people out there that have never seen a map, think there's probably actual physical gates, and we're in some kind of gated community of a nation, and don't know who the players are, don't know who would want to do us harm, and think that there's some Mongol hordes out there amassing outside of the Great Wall of China.
Yeah, in a location called the Gates of Hell. It's where Bush said he'd chase them to. It's Gates of Hell, Pakistan.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. He thinks Pakistan is just south of Mexico.
Yeah.
And if you don't vote, then the gates will break and the hordes will come and demolish us
and
all.
And if you don't like the military industrial complex, vote and get people to vote against it. Because there's a party for that. Right?
Yes, because you'll lose.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll go on. This allows me to live free. Okay, under my own individual terms. Where is he living? I want to go to this magical place surrounded by gates with freedom for everyone.
He lives in the evil anti-Alpha Centauri.
Oh, okay. I think it must be a different section of the multiverse. It got transferred over here through that quantum computer somehow. Yeah. There was a crossed intertube. All right.
A telefunken intertube.
Yeah. All right. This allows me to live free under my own individual terms without having bare knowledge of what atrocities may have occurred. Okay. So it's the ignorance is bliss thing. He just wants to be dumb, watch his Dancing with Stars.
I think this was written by the guy in the cubicle next to Bradley Manning. Like, this is someone's job. In D.C. somewhere, there's like an office building where these people show up for work and... who's the guy, the libertarian paternalism guy? What's his name? We hate him. What's
Cass Sunscreen?
Yeah.
Maybe it's trolling. I don't know if it hits the points too well. It's either trolling or it's stupidity condensed, distilled. The last sentence here. Keep our secrets. Execute or assassinate spies, saboteurs, and traitors of liberty. And that's the other thing, is people equate the government with liberty, which is the most bass-ackwards thing I think anybody in history could ever do. As Mises said, government is in essence the negation of liberty, i.e. they're opposites. So if you want to execute a traitor of liberty, Mr. Writer of this comment here, you're asking for the entire government to be executed. You are, not me. But that's what this implies if we're to take this with any kind of logical progression.
Yeah. Let's go to the market, man, and then come back with some good news.
All right.
Okay. Worms. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget?
creamy radio audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Rolling. I just got the most absurd fucking piece of mail spam I've ever seen. It was it was a postcard that you turned it over and it looks like a check for $50,000. And it says like, sign here and return to borrow this amount against your mortgage. Like, give us your house and you might get some money. Like,
man, you know,
like that praise.
Does this stuff ever work?
Yeah. On old people who've already paid off their house. So basically it's, you know, someone's going to get a $150,000 house for $50,000. If they even send you the money. It's like you're signing a deed, I think, when you sign this thing. When you try to sign it like a check, like you sign where the check would be signed.
Yeah, I don't know. I think a good lawyer could get you off and say that you didn't know what it was. It was a contract under duress or something like that. Oh, there was no true meeting of the minds.
Did you hear about that Bitcoin mining scam?
No.
There was like a toolbar. You know how toolbars?
I think you sent me that.
Always
yeah.
try to install bullshit.
In the terms of service, it granted them some of your bandwidth so they could use it to
legal.
Mine Bitcoins.
It was legal, basically. Yeah. It was. Look it up and see what it was.
Okay.
You can
okay.
decipher this.
Toolbar and Bitcoin. I know you sent it to me here. Here we go. Yes, it was under the subject sleazy and brilliant and sleazy and legal.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is from VentureBeat.com. You may have just given a toolbar permission to mine Bitcoins from your computer. Pause. How come everybody who writes an article on Bitcoin has to have a picture of like coins with the B on it?
It's so confusing, man. I still think that's the reason a lot of people don't know what a Bitcoin is, because you can buy medallions with the Bitcoin logo on them.
But it's just a toy. It's just a
toy,
trinket, right?
It's like a necklace. Yeah, it's not a coin. It's not made of gold. I'm sure you could buy gold or silver ones, but yeah, there's a lot of them that people hand out like chit or, you know, like, but they're not, you can't exchange one for a Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think I'm over that. I think people should stop doing that. That's
well,
stupid.
Well, you finally actually installed a wallet and downloaded it. And
yeah, so I actually have somewhere to talk from now. Yeah.
Where?
Yeah, you damn outsiders putting up a bunch of shiny crap.
Nima gets in 4 years late after everyone's cashed out their millions. Yeah, and Nima's like, I have $220 worth of Bitcoin. Fuck you people who don't know what a Bitcoin is. Yeah.
Yeah. Better late than never.
Yeah.
Just put the logo up. How's that?
Well, really, it's, you know, just put a fucking screenshot up. The Bitcoin wallet is like the most boring looking interface in the world. It is.
Yeah. Or at least the one I have is.
It kind of looks like, God, it kind of looks like
it reminds
Napster.
Me of that FTP site that we use, or FTP program we used from 1993.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. All right. So
it also reminds me of Audio Compass, the thing we're talking about right now. Yeah.
And that's fine. I don't mind utilities that are utilitarian and not full of a bunch of dancing baloney and shiny
Fiendcoin,
animations.
Fiendcoin is going to have a really cool, weird, dumb graphic on it that I'm.
Our dumb graphic will be cooler than
it's
your
gonna
dumb
be
graphic.
There's going to be two graphics. One is going to be incredibly dumb, which you've seen, and another is going to be cool and weird that Iva's making. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So we're going to talk about this thing here.
Well, it's not our coin or our wallet. Fans are making it, you know, because the Fiend said, wouldn't it be cool if we had one? And I know Free Talk Live is going to want their own coin, and these people won't do it. I don't know if they will.
I feel like they're too heavily invested in Bitcoin.
I don't know, man.
I think they just want to talk Bitcoin.
I don't know. I think they'd like to have their own coin.
You think?
I think Ian's into anything that's new and... he's really thinks outside the box. Like he's, you know, he really epitomizes to me like the best of the old school libertarian without embracing the new libertarian stuff. Because really, that article is correct. Like Mises, a lot of people are quoting Mises to condemn Bitcoin, like saying it has no intrinsic utility, blah, 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 you know, all these fancy economic terms. And
well,
like,
I'm glad that that's the actual debate now.
Peter
though,
Schiff hates it, and, you know, who else hates it?
I don't know if he hates it. Well, he thinks it's overvalued.
So did he actually say its only utility was harassing the FBI, or did you add that?
In our last episode, I
was talking about how people can, you know, send notes to the FBI via Bitcoin dust.
I joked. That was my joke. Okay. I didn't try to put those words in his mouth.
I listened to that episode twice, and it sounded like you were saying that's what he said in the interview was the only utility. That's cool.
I might have, but I was making it as a joke.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I don't think he actually said that. No, he doesn't think there's any intrinsic value. And his other point is that since anybody can make coins and everybody is making coins, like you said, 100 new coins at least since April, that what happens when somebody makes the next coin that's way better than Bitcoin and nobody wants to use Bitcoins anymore?
Well,
and then what happens after that? And then what happens after that? And he worries that because people won't trust that it'll keep its value, it might go up and down and you might be able to make a nice profit every now and then. But he doesn't think it's a long lasting store of value like gold is.
Well, it's actually kind of rare where the inventor of a new technology that isn't patented gets rich off of it. And I don't know that Satoshi even got rich off it. He might not have pre-mined. He might have sold it. He might have been the guy who bought the pizza, you know, for all his Bitcoin.
Yeah. I'm sick of all this. I'd rather have a pizza.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it gets hot with this kind of encryption algorithm. It gets harder to mine. Like literally, like with a new coin, like with, you know, the Fiend coin when it comes out, like, you won't even need like a Bitcoin mining rig. Like on your computer, you'll be able to probably mine 10,000 of them in a few days, you know? But it gets harder and harder and harder as it goes on,
for each coin though. But what's there to keep there from being a million different types of coins that each have 40 million types of?
Well, there already are. There's already like at least 160 or 140, 160, I think. And the joke, you know, I'd said the joke of like, I thought the article was going to say created since this morning, but it was created since April.
Since breakfast. Yeah. Well, I don't know, but I think that is part of the debate, and I think it's an important debate to have. I don't know what the answer is. I know some people say that I saw posted on my Facebook, intrinsic value is as important to money as a bicycle is to a fish.
That's a takeoff on a lesbian thing of a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle.
Yeah. And I don't know if I buy it. I mean, it's funny to say, and maybe intrinsic value isn't the most important thing. I don't know. I don't even know the answer to that. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Why do libertarians... No, I can't find it. Why do libertarians hate Bitcoin? I was trying to see who else was in there.
Somebody wrote that up.
Yeah, somebody wrote an article about that. Like, I saw the title of the article, and it's like, you're crazy. I like it. Nima likes it. Ian and Mark like it. Stephanie Murphy likes it. Ed and Ethan like it.
And they're like, Stefan Molyneux likes it.
Yeah,
Scott Horton likes it. Everybody, a lot of people.
Whoever wrote this doesn't know who those people are, but they know who.
Has Doug Casey weighed in yet? Casey on Bitcoin. What did he say?
I just sent this to the wrong guy. I sent it to Alpha Centauri. I sent it to you. Let's see. Who's against it? Peter Schiff, Doug Casey. Doug Casey and Peter Schiff are the main people mentioned in this article.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
What about Jim Rogers? He's not necessarily a libertarian, but he's always he's a really great investor, and he's always complaining about how awful the American fiat currency is and how it's going to collapse. And he encourages gold and farmland and stuff like that.
Well, to me, what Bitcoin is just a decentralized fiat currency. Although it's a little it's like, you know, whereas American money is 100% fiat, I believe now. I believe there's no gold backing it anymore. But even if they say there is, but do they even say there is anymore?
No.
But they say say that the Federal Reserve has a lot of gold, but they probably do, but they're not the government. They're just the people stealing the money.
No, it's the line is it's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States federal government. That's all it's back. That's the official line.
The people who think more highly of the flu of having the flu than they do of Congress. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes. The full faith and credit of these people having a 6% approval rating.
Yeah. Yeah. The 6%.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I don't know. There's a thing here about Jim Rogers.
I feel like Bitcoin is like 1% representative of work because it actually takes work to do it. And you could say that the United States the dollars do, the bills do, but they don't really because the government is all set up to do it. It probably takes far less money to print a $100 bill, than it does to mine a tenth of a Bitcoin.
But labor doesn't necessarily add any value to the mix, though.
Right.
I mean, I could spend work making a sandcastle out of my own feces, and it wouldn't be worth anything.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's an art piece to the same people who have the nuclear missile from North Korea in front of their shop, but not to anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. You on the horn with the Alpha Centauri, huh?
No, man. No. What?
No. What?
No. Anyway. No, I'm not. I feel like I'm in class and you just caught me like texting jokes.
Yes. Mr. Dean, is it important enough for the whole class to hear it?
No, not until the whole class begins mining it in a couple weeks or days. Yeah. So I think it really rocks that Canadian Mark, as he's being called now, heard your episode where you just died on the air and then called back in on the cell phone when your power went out. And like his immediate response was like, and he's not rich. He has a job. He's supports a family. And he like wrote me and he's like, how much would it cost to get Nima one of those uninterrupted, those fancy power supplies you have? And I'm like, about $140. And he PayPal'd it to us.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Great. That's like, I think that's one of our first, that's our first unsolicited earmarked donation. We've solicited donations for the Comrex before. And people send us donations sometimes when we don't ask for donations specifically. But I think it was our first, like, I see you have a need. How can I help? It was really cool.
Yes.
Man.
Yeah, it was really cool. It's like when you're installing cable and somebody comes out and gives you a big bottle of water. Like, thanks. I totally needed that. So thank you. I mean, obviously on a much grander scale. And it will help the fiends and I guess therefore help the listeners. So thank you very much, Canadian Mark.
Canadian Mark. That's
Canadian Mark.
That sounds like a trademark for drugs. Like, you know, yeah, be sure to ask for Canadian Mark. Accept no limitations, yes. Substitutions.
It's what the Canadian currency would be if our boys didn't fight bravely in World War II.
Yeah, well, you missed the whole discussion of how the Canadian dollar is worth more than the American dollar for the first time ever.
Yes. Well, that happened a couple months ago, didn't it? I think we talked about it when
I said that to them, too. And they're like, no, it's not the first time ever. It happened 3 months ago. And I'm like, Dude, I'm fucking 50 years old. I'm talking about when I was a kid.
That's what I'm talking about.
When I was a kid, you know, I grew up near the Canadian border, and we got a lot of change that was Canadian, you know, silver, you know, not silver, but dimes and nickels and pennies. And we'd throw them on the ground because they were worthless. We called it funny money. And now Canadians are probably doing that with American money.
Laughing with their baguettes over their shoulders. Do French Canadians eat baguettes too? Is that
you
a thing?
Baguette. French Canadians are very much like French.
They
like
are.
French people.
They're snow froggies.
they're snooty. Yeah, I'm part French Canadian, so that's why I.
So you can say you can talk shit then.
That's why I get indignant. Okay. I can talk math.
Meh. Is that how they say it?
No, it sounds German. It sounds like it would be. Meh. I don't know.
Meh. En France.
En France. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't do a French accent. Sorry.
So,
I don't think we looked at our notes yet. Did stuff happen in the world?
I don't know. I don't care. I want to talk about this fuzzy math thing, this legal pot grower bust thing that you sent me. Why don't you I just sent it to you. Go ahead and read some of that and then your critiques of it and then what's good about it.
Yes. Well, it's a misleading headline, I thought. But it's catchy. It grabbed me. It grabbed you. Headline is, police bust legal grower must pay back $210,000 for destroyed crop. Where it gets tricky is the must pay back part. Because it looks like that's what the victim, the legal pot grower who was the victim of the police, is asking for. At least that's what his attorney's asking for in a lawsuit. But they haven't won yet, so we'll see what happens. My comment was, think about what the judge is going to do here, or even the jury. So I'll go ahead and read some of this. This is from Police the Police. That's a decent little blog there, isn't that? It's the first time I've seen it, but that's what people want to see, man. They want to see people policing the police until there are no more police. All right, so a man jurors acquitted of multiple marijuana felonies has sued the Larimer County Sheriff's Office after his 42 plants were destroyed, according to a lawsuit recently filed in 8th Judicial District Court. Denver lawyer Rob Corey said his client expects to receive $5,000 per plant based on what law enforcement officers have testified a marijuana
plant is
worth.
That's the part I like, because that's the fuzzy math thing. Like, you know, when they stand in, they hold up a briefcase and say, this seized drugs are worth on the street $27.8 trillion. And, you know, they basically do this math of like, they have a ton of literally a ton of drugs. And they say they're estimating it as like cut and all sold in the smallest unit possible in the most expensive place, top of the market. You know, basically.
Right. Like if I sold this pound as grams to the dumbest college kids on campus all day.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Or, you know, if the Mexican mafia took this ton of cocaine, cut it to 10% and smuggled it into prisons themselves up their butt and sold it.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's to pat themselves on the back and talk about all the teamwork that went into busting all this stuff. And people like big numbers. They like the way they sound. It doesn't work on me, and I don't think it works on any libertarian. I just look at that and go, oh my God, think about all the wealth they just destroyed. Horrible, horrible people they are. I don't even think it worked on me as a kid. I was like, man, why are you stealing all that money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Damn cops.
But anyway, more power to this lawyer, Rob Corey, and his client, Caleb Young. I hope they win, man. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that shut these damn cops up? Maybe for a little bit. I kind of tend to think, though, that they'll just get more angry and start raiding people with – make sure they kill the people they raid so they don't have to go to court and pay a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. You should turn your pad on when you type. It's really loud.
No, it's we've talked about this, man. It's part of the fiend sound is like the pigeon, pigeon going off. Okay. You know, like basically, here's the fiend sound. It's like, you know, not yelling like a drill sergeant. Incredibly good audio. Although today it's like I'm having trouble. I'm having to find my like settings. I'm having to what's it called? Volume gain. Gain stage. Like live. And I finally got it to where it should be. Like I was a little loud and crunchy at first. Basically, this Telefunken has far more output than the tube I was using before. And I'm kind of having to tweak it as we go. Yeah.
I'm excited about that. I also got my six pack of TRS quarter inch cables mail to mail.
Oh,
so
you got them today?
I'm going to have a fun night setting up the studio tonight or tomorrow night. It should be good.
Mail to mail. All right. I got to cut this off early. I have to go. Alpha Centauri.
It sounds like
me.
It. Yeah, I noticed.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like that Eno song with the typewriter.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Well,
great
thanks,
things.
Beans.
Great things are going to come out of us ending 10 minutes early today. That's what I got to say.
Okay.
All right.
Worms.
Yep. Yep.
Peace.
Peace.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I owe me and the include endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom Fiends.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Three times a week, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati share their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.